That was a bit of a side, sorry. So, Ephesians. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read from Ephesians the first little bit of it, and then Jean is going to come and read the rest to us in a moment. So it says, this is Ephesians 1, and if you've got a Bible, it's worth grabbing it and have a look, because we're going to flick in and out of it to see what God is saying to us. And I just want to say, if you get nothing out, if this talk is absolute rubbish, get Ephesians 1, 1 to 14, and just keep reading it. Just keep sitting with it. That's why I wanted to sit today. It's something that we can sit with. This is who we are. This is who we are as a body of people. This is who we are as individuals that make up this body of people. The words in this passage, the words in this first section, a resource that you can bring alongside, a great book. There's loads of great books about Ephesians, but there's a guy called Watchman Nee who wrote a book, and I'd recommend it if you haven't read the book, Sit, Walk, Stand. I'd encourage you to get it. If you have read it, read it again as we're thinking about this, as we're talking about it in our small communities. These first three chapters are about sitting, being placed in a seat of authority and identity that flows from the Father. We can't do anything better than just to keep reading these, allowing the words and the truth to sink into our souls, to define who we are as individuals and as a community. But this letter starts with Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a letter written by Paul. It's one of his shortest introductions, and there's a reason, I think, for that. So it's kind of three sections there. It's Paul writing it. He's an apostle. It's written to God's holy people in Ephesians, and he speaks grace and peace to them. Paul, someone who is zealous for God. If you don't know who Paul is, he was a follower of God, and he was zealous for doing God's things. But that meant that he didn't like Christians, because he didn't recognize Jesus as Lord. And so he persecuted those that followed Jesus. Until one day he encountered God on the road to Damascus. He was blinded, and in that moment he realized who Jesus was. And he spent the rest of his life teaching and directing people into who God was. His purpose and his plan was to tell all. And so that phrase, an apostle of Christ Jesus, one who understands and knows the mission of God, someone who purposes and plans to live out and to work out and to declare the mission of God to others. And that journey for him wasn't easy. We can read about his journey, some of it in the New Testament letters that he's written, some of it in other documents that we know of. But he suffered vastly. He was punished, beaten, persecuted, shipwrecked. As Paul said last week, his life was full, but not easy. And so he's writing this letter while in prison, imprisoned for his faith, imprisoned for sharing the good news and gospel of Jesus. So Paul is writing, and he's writing to the people, God's holy people in Ephesus. And there are some of these manuscripts of this book that it says to God's holy people in, and then there's a blank. And the idea and the thinking for scholars is that this was one of those perhaps first round-robin letters to a number of churches, of which Ephesus was one of them. He's Ephesus, if you can see that. What does it look like on the back? There we go. There's Ephesus today, obviously. And so it was written as a round letter, addressing the church in that region. And that's really important for us, because in some of Paul's letters, we have to really understand what is going on in that situation, in that place, to really get why Paul or whoever's written the letter for the different letters of the New Testament, why they're writing it and what situation they're writing it into. With this letter, Paul is not writing into a specific context in the sense of particular issues that he's heard of within the church in Ephesus. He's writing to that whole region. And so this is a letter written generally to followers, to the holy people of God in that area. And in some ways, that makes it really, it makes it easier for us to read as well, because we don't have to understand everything that's going on. Ephesus is a place much like Bristol. It's a major port. It's a major place of trade. They have people coming and going, and they have a god that they worship, which is called Diana. We today in Bristol have our own gods that we worship that is not the Lord Jesus. But much the same, this is a trading place. It's a port. It's a place of people coming and going. It's a place under rule in the Romans. But Paul is writing this letter as a general letter to all those who seek to be faithful followers of God. And in it, he speaks that sense of identity of who people are, who God's people are. And in the rhythm and movement of Watchman Nee's book, Sit, Walk, Stands, he moves to what does that look like to live in. And as we move further through the book, we'll begin to look at this book, at what it teaches us about how we live out the truth of our identity. And it finally finishes with standing, as people who remain standing in all that God's done. And it finishes with that great analogy of the soldier of God, the armor of God, and placing on each piece of armor so that we can be people who stand in the midst of it all. And so that's our journey through this book. And so he finishes this short introduction with grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, as he begins a letter to speak of our identity as followers of Jesus. So let's continue in our reading. I'm going to ask Jean to come and read to us the remainder of Ephesians 1, starting at verse 3. And again, if you've got a Bible in front of you, perhaps take it and watch with it as well.
Have I sound? Yes. Oh, dear. I was saying it's one of my favourite passages as well. So from verse 3. Praise for spiritual blessings in Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So, as I said, we're going to look at this passage from 3 to 14 over the next 2 weeks. And we're going to break it into three parts. I'm going to look at the first part today, and then Natalie will look at the second two parts next week. And last week, Paul started his talk with a Bob Dylan song. And so to help us remember and to think about how we're going to split this passage into three parts, today I'm bringing you Stevie Wonder. So hopefully this will work, and have a listen. Sorry, going to stop it there. Signed, sealed, delivered. I could see a few people starting to move away there. Signed, sealed, delivered. I guess that's the talk, the name, the title of our talk for the next 2 weeks. Signed, sealed, delivered. It's how we want to look at this passage as we think about what God is saying to us today. You see, in this passage, we can split it into three. We think about how this is all signed by the Father. A plan that he has for each one of us. A plan for his church, his people on earth. Ultimately to be with him forever. So a plan signed by the Father. And we're going to look at that one today. It's sealed by the cross of Christ, by the work that he did on the cross. And it's delivered. And towards the end of that passage, it talks about the seal being the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit delivers that work into our lives. So signed by the Father, sealed by the cross of Christ, delivered by the work of the Holy Spirit. And we can divide these passages into those three sections. And each section finishes with the same words, which it says this: to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely gives to in the one he loves. So sections 3 to 6, the Father speaks. The Father signs the truth about who we are, to the praise of his glorious grace. 7 to 12 talks about the work of Jesus, finishing with for the praise of his glory. And 13 and 14 speak of the work of the Holy Spirit, to the praise of his glory. So we're going to look at those three sections, starting with the Father today. And there's three words that I want to pull out of what we're looking at today from that first section in this. And the first word is chosen. I'm going to shift this one because I can read it a bit better than my Bible got in front of me. For he chose us in him. Every spiritual blessing has been given to us, a spiritual net blessing, not blessings on earth that fade away, not spiritual blessings, not physical blessings that can fade away, that can be lost, that can be measured on value, but every spiritual blessing has been given to us, for he chose us. We are people who are chosen by God. How amazing is that? We are people chosen by God. Chosen for a purpose. Chosen before the foundation of the world. Not chosen because of what we look like. Not chosen because how good or bad we are. Not chosen because of the skills that we can offer God. But chosen before the creation of the world. That's who we are. People who are chosen. Chosen for a purpose, because we're chosen to be holy and blameless. To be people set apart from God. For God, not from God. For God. Holy and blameless. That's what he's purposed for each and every one of us. From the beginning of time. Before creation, that we would be a people who are holy and blameless, chosen by God. He speaks that over you today. He speaks that over us. Not some of us, all of us. And it's not a word about whether we feel like that today. It's a truth that is spoken over us. We are people who are chosen by God from the beginning of the creation of the world. And in his love, he predestined us. In my verse, it says, in accordance with his unchanging plan. In accordance with his unchanging plan. Sometimes we get into this predestined, that predestined means that God's purposed it for some and not for others. That he's already worked out in advance, this whole idea of election, that for some it's for them and for others it's not. And there's people that are walking on this earth that won't never get to know and haven't even planned and purposed for that. Whereas others have been predestined for a relationship with God. It's predestined, an unchanging plan from the beginning of time. This was always God's plan. It wasn't a plan that was superseded because the first plan didn't work. It's not a plan that was thought through and kind of like, oh, quick, I've got to do something about this. It was a plan from the beginning of time. A plan for a people who would know God, who would love God, who would have an intimacy with God. And each and every one of us is invited into that. It's not a plan and a purpose that is forced upon us. It's not a plan and a purpose that some are just pushed into and others are not. It's a plan and a purpose that he invites us to step into. But it's a plan and a purpose that has always been there. And when we say yes, when we say yes to stepping into that plan, we step into it fully at whatever time and stage of life we are in. We step into the fullness. We receive the fullness of the spiritual blessings that have been given to God's people. We all get it. We all receive it. And what does that plan, that unchanging, unfurling plan, how does that work out it works out in the image of adoption. The Father's invitation to each one of us is to be his children. To be his children adopted into his family. And I'm aware as we speak about adoption, for some of us in the room, that is a reality for you. For some of you, that is a positive reality. For others, it may not be a positive reality. That idea of being chosen and adoption are a positive emotion or a negative emotion. And as we continue on this, if you would like someone to pray with you, then do grab someone at the end as we think about this. But adoption is key to understanding who we are in the family of God. Because adoption was a significant part of the Roman Empire. It was a significant action that was taken. In a time when if you couldn't have children or you didn't have children, there wasn't any other way about, adoption was a key part of that process. And it was about adopting sons into heirship. You see, for those that had wealth and power and they wanted to pass that on through their families, if they didn't have a son to pass that on to, they would adopt someone into their family. It was seen as high regard. It was commonplace. But they were adopted into that new family to take the status of the oldest son, which meant that they would inherit everything. They would take the family name. They would take on everything that the family had, and it would be passed to them to live on through them. Adoption was significant. And it was something that they would see and be aware of around them. So as Paul writes to the church in Ephesus and to a region around them, he reminds them that this unchanging and unfurling plan that God has for his people is a plan of adoption, of all people being adopted into his family, receiving the rights and privileges that are bestowed upon the oldest son in that tradition. That we receive it, because one of the phrases that's commonly spoken through Ephesians is we receive it in Christ. We receive it through his work. And so because of this work, the truth of adoption is spoken over each one of us. That the Father's invitation to breathe life into us, an intimate relationship through adoption, is open and has been given to each one of us. That we might receive the full inheritance, the full spiritual blessing as children of God. We get everything. There's not some for more and others for less for others. There's no impartiality. There's no sense of worth given. There's no sense of, well, if they deserve more, but I probably deserve a little less. But if everybody else knew about me, then they'd understand why I only get a little bit. But that other person who looks like they'd live really well and do a really good job and work really hard and do a load of jobs for church and are involved in all this stuff in the community, look how much they give. They surely deserve more. It doesn't work like that. When we're adopted, we get everything. We get everything. We get every spiritual blessing. We just say yes. We just receive that truth. And that inheritance and that blessing is spoken out through the remainder and onwards through these chapters. So we'll keep coming back to similar themes. And Natalie will begin to think about particularly around how that's worked out through the work of the cross of Christ and how it's delivered to us through the Holy Spirit over next week. And then we'll continue that on as we continue to read through Ephesians. But as we start this book, let's be people who sit in this truth that we are children of God, adopted by a good Heavenly Father who gives us everything. That we are a people who are chosen by God. That His plan is unchanging. It has always been the case for each one of us. And so we're going to take some time to pray. Because for some of us, this is stuff that's not new. But we just need to know it afresh. We need to allow this truth to permeate because we can so easily forget. For other of us, as you might be hearing this and thinking, I didn't know that. It's true. Receive it. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak these words that you are purposed and planned. That you have been chosen, that you have been adopted into God's family, which brings all the benefits and all the blessings and all the inheritance that you need. So let's just take a moment to be silent. And I'm just going to read to us again these first three, well, from 3 to 6. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us. He chose you. He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves.